Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadapi Sunichena, Sarariva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada Hare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Ibekevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva. I'd like to do a short reading from the preface of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are practical demonstrations of Lord Krishna's teachings. Lord Krishna's ultimate instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is that everyone should surrender unto Him, Lord Krishna. Krishna then promises to take immediate charge of such a surrendered soul. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is already in charge of the maintenance of this creation by virtue of His plenary expansion, Shirodakashayi Vishnu. But this maintenance is not direct. However, when the Lord says that He takes charge of His pure devotee, He actually takes direct charge. A pure devotee is a soul who is forever surrendered to the Lord, just as a child is surrendered to the parents or an animal to the master. In the surrendering process, one should, number one, accept things favorable for discharging devotional service. Number two, reject things unfavorable. Number three, always believe firmly in the Lord's protection. Number four, feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Number five, have no interest separate from the interest of the Lord. And number six, always feel oneself meek and humble. The Lord demands that one surrender unto Him by following these six guidelines. But the unintelligent so-called scholars of the world misunderstand these demands and urge the general mass of people to reject them. At the conclusion of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord directly orders, "Always think of Me, become My devotee, worship Me alone, and offer obeisances unto Me alone." By so doing, the Lord says, one is sure to go to Him in His transcendental abode. But the scholarly demons misguide the masses of people by directing them to surrender not to the personality of Godhead, but rather to the impersonal, unmanifested, eternal, unborn truth. The impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers do not accept that the ultimate aspect of the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one desires to understand the sun as it is, one must first face the sunshine and then the sun globe. And then, if one is able to enter into that globe, one may come face to face with the predominating deity of the Son. But due to a poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers cannot go beyond the Brahman effulgence, which may be compared to the sunshine. The Upanishads confirm that one has to penetrate the dazzling effulgence of Brahman before one can see the real face of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya therefore teaches direct worship of Lord Krishna, who appeared as the foster child of the king of Raja. Lord Chaitanya also teaches that the place known as Vrindavan is as good as Lord Krishna, because Lord Krishna being the absolute truth, then there is no difference between him and his name, qualities, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia. That is the absolute nature of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya also teaches that the highest mode of worship in the highest perfectional stage is the method practiced by the damsels of Raja. These damsels, known as gopis or cowherd girls, simply love Krishna without any motive for material or spiritual gain. Lord Chaitanya also teaches that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless narration of transcendental knowledge, and that the highest goal in human life is to develop unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are also identical to those given by Lord Kapila, the original propounder of Sankhya Yoga, or the Sankhya system of philosophy. This authorized system of yoga teaches meditation on the transcendental form of the Lord. There is no question of meditating on something void or impersonal. When one can meditate on the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu, even without practicing involved sitting postures, such meditation is called perfect samadhi. That this kind of meditation is perfect samadhi is confirmed at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says that of all yogis, the greatest is the one who constantly thinks of the Lord within the core of the heart with love and devotion. On the basis of the Sankhya philosophy of Achintya Bhedabheda Tattva, which maintains that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from His creation, Lord Chaitanya taught that the most practical way for the mass of people to practice Sankhya Yoga meditation is simply to chant the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya taught that the holy name of the Lord is the sound incarnation of the Lord, and since the Lord is the absolute whole, there is no difference between His holy name and His transcendental form. Thus, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can directly associate with the Supreme Lord by sound vibration. As one practices chanting this sound vibration, one passes through three stages of development, namely the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the transcendental stage. In the offensive stage of chanting, one may desire all kinds of material happiness. But in the second stage, one becomes clear of all material contamination. And When one is situated on the transcendental stage, one attains the most coveted position, the stage of loving God. Lord Chaitanya taught that this is the highest stage of perfection for human beings. Yoga practice is essentially meant for controlling the senses. The central controlling factor of all senses is the mind. Therefore, one first has to practice controlling the mind by engaging it in Krishna consciousness. The gross activities of the mind are expressed through the external senses, either for the acquisition of knowledge or for the functioning of the senses in accordance with the will. The subtle activities of the mind are thinking, feeling, and willing, which are carried out according to one's consciousness, either polluted or clear. If one's mind is fixed on Krishna, his name, qualities, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia, all one's activities, both subtle and gross, become favorable. The Bhagavad Gita's process of purifying consciousness is the process of fixing one's mind on Krishna by talking of his transcendental activities, cleansing his temple, going to his temple, seeing the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord nicely decorated, hearing his transcendental glories, tasting food offered to him, associating with his devotees, smelling the flowers and tulsi leaves offered to him, engaging in activities for the Lord's interest, becoming angry at those who are malicious towards the devotees, etc. No one can bring the activities of the mind and senses to a stop, but one can purify these activities through a change in consciousness. This change is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells Arjuna of the knowledge of yoga, whereby one can work without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. A human being is sometimes restricted in sense gratification due to certain circumstances, such as disease. But such proscriptions are for the less intelligent. Without knowing the actual process by which the mind and senses can be controlled, less intelligent men may try to stop the mind and senses by force, but ultimately they give in to them and are carried away by the waves of sense gratification. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please. Don't stop. I am now bringing my wife. Bhajahu re mana Srinandanandana Obhaya charanada vindare. Dullabha manava janama satsange. Taraha e bhava sindure. Taraha e bhava sindure. Bhajahure mana srinanda nandana abhaya charanara vindare. Srila Prabhupada has recorded this song several times in his recording career, and it is also my favorite of all the Vaishnava bhajans. So the first line, Bhajahure mana srinanda nandana Abhaya Charanada Vindare. The author is speaking to his mind, because as we just heard from Prabhupada in his introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, yoga practice means controlling the senses. And controlling the senses means controlling the mind. If the mind is controlled, then all the senses will automatically follow. So, the author is saying to his mind, let's make a deal. That let us be fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Nanda Nandana. Everybody say, Sri. That can only mean one person, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And Govinda Das, the author of this song, says that, my dear mind, if we do this, if we become fixed at lotus feet of Krishna, then we will become Abhai. Abhai means fearless. Everyone in this material world is full of fear. And as Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, there are many problems in this material world. The biggest problem is we don't know what the next one's going to be. That's the big problem. If you know what the problem is going to be, you can somewhat deal with it. But when you don't know what the next problem is going to be, what's going to be the big next headline, then that is a real problem. Because sometimes these problems arise so fast, so quickly, that we wonder how we're going to deal with the next problem coming down the pike, down the highway. But doesn't matter. When you're surrendered to Krishna, when your mind is controlled and fixed on Krishna's lotus feet, then you become fearless. Abhai. Everybody say, Hare Krishna. Then he says, Durlava Manava Janama Satsange. That the purpose of human life, this human life is rarely achieved. The purpose of human life is this association with devotees. This is the real point of life. We have so many obligations, so many duties, so many things we have to do, but we should know, what should be my priority? My priority is, how can I get the association of devotees? And what happens? This is what happens. Before becoming a devotee, you had a certain circle of friends. But once you become a serious devotee, that circle of friends many times doesn't want anything to do with you. You all of a sudden lose your network of friends. But when you become a sincere devotee, there is a big circle of devotees just waiting for you. Look around you, Orange County, here you are. A whole new circle of friends are awaiting you. And Prabhupada has created the ISKCON movement in such a way that you travel to any foreign country, you can find devotees. There are ISKCON temples. I go to Santiago, Chile. There are Sindhi devotees, Chilean devotees. In 2 weeks, I'm going to go to Guadalajara. There will be devotees. Wherever you go in the world, you can find devotees. And real devotees will treat you just like they're your own family. So, human life is rarely achieved. We should not waste our time. Don't waste your time. Seek out the association of devotees. And then, Charaha Evhava Sindare. You will cross over the ocean of material existence. Every one of us is in this ocean of material existence. And the only way to cross over the harsh waves of material existence, right, is in the association of devotees and engage in Krishna consciousness. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Now, every month I go and visit Krishna Kumar Das at his office. How many years have we been doing the monthly blessing at your office, Krishna Kumar? 10 years. So every month at the beginning of the month, I visit him and we sprinkle Ganga Jal all over the office. We blow the conch shell all over the office. Then we go to the Bhajan Kutir, his truck. And I sit in the driver's seat, and he sits in the passenger seat. And we sing this Nisringa prayer. And when Krishna Kumar first started, it was really rough. It was like, oof. But month after month after month, now, how did he do today? Because that is the nature of Sankirtan. You may or may not have any musical talent, doesn't matter. If you just surrender to Krishna and you just try to chant, Krishna will give you. He says that in Gita, doesn't he? I supply what you lack, I preserve what you have. That's been my experience. And it should be your experience too. You just have to surrender to Krishna. The final instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Everyone in this group should at least know that verse of Bhagavad Gita. Right, Kamlesh? Everyone who's a member of this group should at least know that one verse. Sarva dharman parityaja Mamekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mukshaya shami ma sutra. Just give up all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. Do not fear. So, these prayers to Lord Nisringa, every month we do that. And then, after we sing the Nisringa prayers, then Krishna Kumar will make his confession to Lord Krishna out loud with me. It's just me and him. There's nobody else in our Bhajan Kutir. You didn't know that this was happening every month. I'm giving you insight to the inner dealings. So Krishna Kumar will make his prayer, spontaneous prayer. He'll always say, Bhagavan Srikrish, right, Krishna Kumar? Prabhuji. And he'll reveal his heart and mind to Krishna. And then I will also give my prayer. And basically, month after month after month, he said 10 years we've been doing this. Basically, we always say the same thing. What I pray for Krishna Kumar is that don't let there be any time for Maya. Krishna Kumar simply wants to be engaged. He simply wants to have so much service that there's no time for even one little drop of Maya. Krishna, just like Kamlesh's favorite mantra, 1866. So Krishna Kumar's favorite mantra is a verse from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells Arjuna, you have to execute your prescribed duty and at the same time remember me, think of me. Because that is all Krishna Kumar wants out of life. To be engaged in his prescribed duty and remember Krishna. And earlier today, when I came for lunch prasad, Because now you know I don't eat after 5 o'clock. So last week at Meenakshi's house, and then this week, I came early and I ate lunch. So a question was raised by Ananda Vrindavan. The question basically is, how do you know that you have Krishna's mercy? So I said to her, you know you have Krishna's mercy when you have two things. What are those two things? When you have knowledge of the Lord, when you have actual knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And number two, when you are engaged in devotional service. So then I told Ananda Vrindavan, because she has a particular kind of devotional service that she is wanting. She doesn't have it, but she wants this special. So I said, you will get it. And when you get it, remember, this is Krishna's special blessing. So if you have a service, even Bhakti Siddhanta said to his disciples, do not give up your service, which is your all and all. So whatever service you have, don't lose it and don't take it for granted. Treasure it, because that is your special blessing from Krishna. How did Prabhupada instruct us the meaning of the Maha Mantra? O energy of God, O God, please engage me in your service. That is the meaning of this Maha Mantra. It's not simply some mumbo jumbo. Oh, besides being the absolute sound vibration, the holy names of transcendence, the meaning, the purport of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, O energy of God, O God, please engage me in your service. So when that service comes, treasure it, hold on to it, fight for it, die for it, never give it up, because that is your special blessing from God. Whatever service that may be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So Krishna Kumar sang the mantras. I offer my obeisance to Lord Narasingha, who gives joy to Prahlad Maharaj, and whose nails are like chisels on the stone-like chest of the demon Hiranyakashipu. Lord Nrisimha is here. He's also there. Wherever I go, Lord Nrisimha is there. He is in the heart, and he is outside as well. And he is also on the altar. I think twice Lord Nrisimha is on the altar. I surrender to Lord Nrisimha, the origin of all things and the supreme refuge. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of half man, half lion, all glories to you. Just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails, so in the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails of your beautiful lotus hands. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki. I am reading from the preface to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I've already read a few paragraphs. The eight principles of Sankhya Yoga, the observing the regulative principles, following the rules, practicing various sitting postures, performing breathing exercises, withdrawing one's senses from the sense objects, etc. These are all meant for those who are too much engrossed in the bodily conception of life. The intelligent man, situated in Krishna consciousness, does not try to forcibly stop the senses from acting. Rather, one engages the senses in the service of Krishna. No one can stop a child from playing by leaving him inactive. Rather, the child can be stopped from engaging in nonsense by being engaged in superior activities. Similarly, the forceful restraint of sense activities by the eight principles of yoga is recommended for inferior persons. But superior persons, being engaged in the superior activities of Krishna consciousness, naturally retire from the inferior activities of material existence. So this is the same thing that Krishna explains in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. It is my personal realization that simply by learning and memorizing as much Bhagavad Gita as you can, you will be able to explain any transcendental subject matter. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about parang drisva nivartate, called getting the higher taste. The activities of Krishna consciousness, those are activities of the higher taste. Many people, past, present, and future, sometimes people have a hard time understanding that spiritual life means activity. For so many people, it's inherently ingrained that they think spiritual life means no activity. But objectively reading Bhagavad Gita, what to speak of Bhagavatam, and especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, spiritual activities is actually what is real spiritual life. That is bhakti yoga. Spiritual activities. Now, in Prabhupada's paragraph here, he made a point. No one can stop a child from playing by leaving him inactive. You remember when Krishna was being naughty during the Damodar Leela. So Yashoda tied him up, or first he tried to tie him up. And she was taught a lesson. You can bring all the rope you want. Unless I agree, you're not going to tie me up. Finally, after so much rope was broken, and Yashoda's flowers all fell, and her hair became disheveled, and she became exhausted, then Krishna, being merciful, said, okay, now you can tie me up. But Yashoda tied up Krishna thinking, all right, now he won't do any more mischief. But Krishna was thinking, my mother thinks she has tied me up, but now I'm going to do even more mischief. And Krishna looked out into the courtyard and saw what? The Yamala Arjun trees. And Krishna knew, because he's God, he knew, oh yes, Narada has cursed those two trees. They're actually the two sons of demigod Kuber, Nalakuvra and Manigriva. And Narada wants me to deliver them. But in order to do that, Krishna had to do nonsense. So he crawled, pulling the grinding mortar that he was tied to, and with great force, the grinding mortar struck between the two trees. The two trees fell down. Out came the two demigods. They offered prayers to Krishna. They turned off their cell phones. And they offered prayers to Krishna. And Krishna blessed Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. And now, before accepting sannyas, or the renounced order, Lord Chaitanya was known as Vishvambara. The word Vishvambara refers to one who maintains the entire universe and who leads all living entities. This maintainer and leader appeared as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya to give humanity these sublime teachings. Lord Chaitanya is the ideal teacher of life's prime necessities. He is the most munificent bestower of love of Krishna. He is the complete reservoir of all mercies and good fortune. As confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata and Upanishads, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself. And He is worshipable by everyone in this age of disagreement. Everyone can join in His Sankirtan movement. No previous qualification is necessary. Just by following His teachings, anyone can become a perfect human being. If a person is fortunate enough to be attracted by Lord Chaitanya, one is sure to be successful in life's mission. In other words, those who are interested in attaining spiritual existence can easily be released from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. The teachings presented in this book are non-different from the Lord. So let's take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Please raise your hands and say along with me, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta. The teachings of Srila Prabhupada that I have imbibed has taught me that there is only one religion. That religion is love of God. There are so many religions on the planet right now. Sometimes the neophyte practitioners of different religions argue and bicker and fight. But when you come to this Krishna consciousness, you get a glimpse into the topmost vision. God is one. And although He is appreciated or approached from different angles of vision, the conclusion has to be love of God. Otherwise, your religious process is deficient. This is what Sutta Goswami first explains to the sages of Naimisharanya 5,000 years ago. He was asked 6 questions by the sage Shaunaka, representing the many sages assembled there. And perhaps one of the first things Sutta explained, Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Ahoksaje Ahoituki Apratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati. Because some of the questions Shaunaka asked were, please answer this question, but answer it in such a way that it will benefit all people. So the teachings of Bhagavatam are not narrow-minded sectarian. They are truly Catholic. Catholic meaning universal, for everybody, regardless of their nation or their gender or their creed or caste or any material designation. Savai Pungsang Paro Dharma. So Paro Dharma, the supreme, topmost religion. Topmost. You have different religions. You have different political systems. But Sutta Goswami says, Paro, the topmost religious system. Savai Pungsang Paro Dharma, Yato Bhakhir Adhoksaje. Adhoksaje. Everyone say Adhoksaja. This is simply one of God's millions and millions of names. What you can call them Allah. You can call him Christ, Buddha, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. These are names found all over the world. And in India, we have millions of names. Here's one. Adhoksaja. Everyone say again. Adhoksaja means that person who is beyond the scope of anyone's material senses to see or to know independently. You cannot see or know God other than the process He Himself designates. You cannot do something individual separate. And that's why the line, Yato Bhaktir. Those of you who have studied Bhagavad Gita, you know, three times in the Bhagavad Gita, we have an expression here in America, three times, you're out. So three times, God Himself says, Bhakti, Bhakti, Bhakti. If you want to see me, Bhakti. If you want to know me, Bhakti. You want to come to me, understand me, it is only by Bhakti. Bhakti means a scientific process of using the senses to serve Adhoksaja, that person beyond the range of your material senses to independently access. He reveals himself, but the process is bhakti. Ahoituki apratiyata. What kind of bhakti? That is the next line. What kind of devotion? What kind of religious process? That religious process of loving service has to be uninterrupted and unmotivated. Unmotivated means I'm not thinking what's in it for me. The bhakta does not have the consciousness, what's in it for me lately. No, that's not a bhakta. He has no motive. And the other thing, uninterrupted. It's continuous. Moment to moment, day after day, life after life, eternally, the devotee, the bhakta, will render loving service to Adhoksaja. Yayatma suprasidati. This, and only this, Sutta Goswami says, will completely satisfy the heart. You may try something else in the name of religion, but you are not going to be satisfied until you come to this platform. Uninterrupted, unmotivated, loving service. And Lord Chaitanya has made it very simple. Just try to hear and chant the holy name of God. Let's all chant one time loudly. All right, we're going to do one more bhajan.